Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's Primetime Titans back to talk about the first round of the NFL draft and give our live reactions and just instant reactions. We do have a few clips that are live clips and we're in public. There's a lot going on, so apologies for that if it's a little crazy, but for the most part, you do get our reactions real time, so it is a lot of fun to hear. But we really appreciate you listening, and we like to, you know, just talk about J.C. Latham and try and convince ourselves why we would love it after Joe Alt was taken from us and we didn't take Brock Bowers. So we appreciate you listening. Tune in. So let's go.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around a bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps a-rolling.
All right, here we go. It's JG. I've got a group here. We're at Green Hills Corner Pub, and our plan was to wait, but the LA Chargers just took Joe Alt, and I got to admit, I'm a little sad. Because I really wanted Joe Alt. I thought he was the guy. Robert has a surprising take for everyone, though.
Lock up Brock. Lock up Brock.
Lock up Brock. Lock up Brock.
I now want Brock Bowers because of the champ. I now want Brock Bowers because of the champ. The Giants are up. They might take Malik Nabers, might take J.J. McCarthy. I don't know. But Joe Alt got taken. I don't know if we're going to take J.C. Latham now. I'm a little worried. I'm a little scared. I really want a Joe Alt. Dadgummit. All right. We'll be back, but just wanted to give a quick update.
They don't have any on the
another quick update. The Giants take Malik Nabers. So Brock is in play. Are we locking up Brock?
Lock up Brock, baby.
Are we locking up Brock?
You have the most likely player to be a Hall of Famer in the whole draft class, and he's sitting there for you. Don't trade back. Don't get cute. Don't do something dumb like Roma Dunze. Just take Brock Bowers, and you'll have your tight end spot locked up for 15 years.
So there's definitely a real chance we trade back now that Alt and Nabers are gone. Robert, you want me to piss you off real quick?
What?
You want to piss you off real quick?
Yeah.
My prediction, we take J.C. Latham.
That would be devastating. I'm not going to lie.
My prediction is we take J.C. Latham. I don't know why.
I might not watch the Titans this year if we take J.C. Latham.
All right. We'll see what happens. We took J.C. Latham. All right, so we've got I'm here with it's me, JG. I got MB and Robert. I got MB and RB with me, Michael and Robert. You have just heard a little bit of recordings of some of us at Corner Pub, and it maybe was a little bit of a teaser into how we're feeling. Potentially, we'll see. But yeah, Titans take J.C. Latham at pick 7. Let's just jump into it. Who wants to go first? Michael, Robert? We obviously didn't get Brock Bowers. I don't know. Maybe Robert, you want to go first, and let's just.
Yeah, I'll go first. And here's why. Because I'm purely operating out of emotion. Michael's going to be operating out of facts and wisdom. Okay. But I'm pretty devastated. I am pretty devastated. I literally, since January, have been hoping to see Brock Bowers in two-tone blue. Honestly, I take that back. Since the guy was a freshman at Georgia, and I saw him bust out of the SEC and become one of the most difficult playmakers to guard and cover and tackle that I had seen, honestly, in a long time from the tight end position. and do it as a freshman and then continue to get better throughout his career at Georgia, win multiple national championships, single-handedly beat teams in the SEC at times with one-handed catches and touchdown runs and jet sweeps and fade routes. We had a chance. We could have gotten Brock Bowers. And, you know, I said it, what, it was like a month ago. I said, you know, Joe Alt, who we thought would be there at the time, he wasn't there. And Joe, I guess this applies to J.C. Latham too. Like, he's the girl that just makes sense on paper, and, you know, your ideals are aligned and relatively attractive, probably marriage material, that kind of girl that you date. But, you know, Brock Bowers was just the beautiful girl who you don't know why she's into you, but she is, and she's going to be a heck of a lot of fun. Probably not who you want to bring home to your parents, but man, if it works out, could have an amazing life together. She may make a bunch of money. She comes from a rich family.
You're at a bonfire in high school. You sneak off together into the woods, have a little fun, you know. Is that Brock Bowers?
Brock Bowers is a potential Hall of Fame player. J.C. Latham is, look, I understand he's got heavy hands and a great base, blah, blah, blah. I mean, he looks like Chance Wormack to me.
Oh, no.
I mean, I I've been down this road where I get excited about a big athletic offensive lineman from the SEC. Okay? How many times are we going to do this?
We've been there.
All right, we did it last year with Peter Skoronski from the Big Ten, okay? I mean, how many times are we going to just draft these underwhelming, boring offensive linemen that who knows if they're going to be good or not?
Robert,
talk me into it, Michael, because you guys know in about 2 weeks I'm going to be all in on J.C. Latham. Quick,
for the record, Robert did say tonight, he said, I want to quit. Do you want to say what you were saying? You want to go to bed on a Thursday night after a first round? You want to finish that?
I'll say some facts, okay? So the last 5 years being a Titans fan, all right, the last 4 years being a Titans fan since COVID, last five years since being a Titans fan, I have personally gone to bed pretty upset. Now, by June, I get on board with every single draft pick. All right, but it's been a pretty good indication. I will say my initial reaction to these first-round draft picks has been pretty spot on. Okay, 2020 Isaiah Wilson, I was not happy about that. Turned out he was arguably the biggest bust of all time, considering he basically played on field goal protect eight times. And that's it. Yeah. So fell asleep in meetings, and now he has a rap career. Caleb Farley, I hated the pick at the time. I said, and I quote, I prefer my defensive backs to have healthy, my corners to have healthy backs. Okay? Hated the pick at the time. Treylon Burks. I didn't necessarily hate Treylon Burks, but I hated that we traded AJ to get him. Devastated. Peter Skoronski, probably the best pick of the four, but he's a left guard at 11. All right? Even if he's a Pro Bowl, you're just like, whatever. All right? Sounds great. We got a guard. Awesome. We're all going to bed pumped tonight. And then now J.C. Latham, a right tackle that we have to convert to left tackle. When Brock Bowers, a potentially generational Titan, like he could be, he Brock Bowers is the most sure thing to be in the Ring of Honor of the Titans that I've ever seen. I mean, literally, he would have been, families in Middle Tennessee area would have been fed for years reporting on Brock Bowers and the wins and the money he would have brought to the Middle Tennessee area. I mean, it would have been generational. And I think we blew it. I would have been okay with Roma Dunze too. I would have been excited about Roma Dunze. My larger point is this, and then I'll turn it over to you, Michael, to talk some sense and how it actually is great for the team and all this stuff that I know you're going to say that I'm going to get behind and I'm going to believe full 100% in about 2 months, okay? But I'm going to need some time. All right, here's the last thing I'll say. I am just ready to be excited right from the second I see the name pop on the screen in the first round. That's all I want, all right? I just want to see a name pop on the screen and be really excited and get on board with that guy from day one and not have to, you know, look at his junior stories from high school about how great of a guy he is and go hear his, you know, position coach in college talk about how great of a worker he is and how all these things that I'm going to be doing over the next 2 months to talk myself into JC Latham. I just would rather be all in from the second I see it and be excited. And yeah, so I'm emotional and I'm a fan. So that's how I'm feeling right now. So with that, Michael, the floor is yours.
Robert, I do have to ask, does the fact that you played collegiate tight end play into your Brock Bowers fandom at all here?
I don't know. I think
the listener deserves to know.
I do love watching tight ends, and so maybe part of it is I just was going to be really excited to watch Brock Bowers because I played that position. But no, I mean, I think that might be part of it, but really I that's how good I think the guy is. I really do.
Yeah, I got to say the last 2 days, it was really prepping up for the JC Latham give a little bit of a rewatch and a little bit of a reconsideration. And I truly thought the Chargers were going to go JC Latham at 5. I thought he made way too much sense for them to keep him at right tackle and then for their bookend tackle situation to go there. I knew it was a possibility because everything in terms of the scouting of Bill Callahan, of what he looked at in a player, like I knew Olo Fashanu was out with the small hands, and being that he valued violent and strong hands. And if you look at it, JC Latham is just like textbook what the guy has said he wants. And then when I put two and two together and the fact that the Browns left tackle, Jedrick Wills, was a converted right tackle from Alabama that Callahan was responsible for, I was like, well, it makes so much sense. Now we're going through and hearing all the different interviews and the fact that the first time Latham had a visit, he was told straight up by Bill Callahan Sr. that they think he's a left tackle and that he has the athleticism to do it. And before the draft also, if you listen to the JC Latham interviews, they would go team by team. And then specifically today, and they were playing this clip on 104.5 The Zone when asked JC Latham about the meetings that he had, he said, and he had, you know, above all, he had an amazing meeting with Callahan and the Titans. And it just seemed like it was all kind of going together. But full disclosure and a little bit of a wild hair, the Brown cousins were led into a gambling fueled haze before the draft when our cousin Alex swore up and down that Joe Walt was going to go number 3 to the Patriots. So this fueled a parlay frenzy that may have clouded my immediate perception of the draft. So yes, at the beginning of the draft, I had 2 parlays based off the unanimous, you know, want to be unified with our cousin Alex. Had two parlays, all that picked Joe Alt going to the Patriots at 3. And the payout, I'm not going to lie, the payout would have been absolutely amazing and would have completely made my want for Joe Alt just completely disappeared. So I will not lie to anybody listening. I was absolutely cheering for Joe Alt to go number 3 to the Patriots for my own greedy motivation. But yeah, when the clock was counting down at 7, and I was so thankful for the Giants taking Malik Nabers off the board. I'm just so nervous about that guy and different reports of people saying he's uncoachable and, you know, it basically seems like could end up being a diva guy. It just makes me so nervous with everything around that I found myself counting down the clock. And yeah, I won't lie, on the east side of town, matching the fervor and the cheers from the west side of town, we were going Bowers. And I gotta say, yeah, when Latham was picked, my buddy Zach, who I've known for, he's probably the oldest friend that I've known, I think it was since I've been 3 years old, his exact words, he's like, God, I just hope not JC Latham. And then of course came up. But I gotta say,
so we said, we both said Brock Bowers, Roma Dunze are successful, JC Latham or Troy Fatanu, whatever his name was, JG, we're like, disaster.
Yeah. I just, the more I look into it, the more I'm completely on board, because if you would have asked me last year, I would have said, we need real coaches. We need a real offensive line coach, and we need real athletic talent. And the team has delivered that to me. So I can't be upset. That was one of my biggest things that, so I feel, I would feel like a hypocrite if I went back on that.
Yeah. I mean, you could argue, in terms of the coaching aspect, we have provided you with, at the offensive line position, maybe the best coach. And then with JC Latham, some of the things that people have said about him, definitely athleticism there and just absolutely brute level of mentality and play. I think it was kind of like one of those where I was convincing myself I wanted Joe Alt so badly that when the Chargers took him, I started to think, probably JC Latham is looking like we're going to take him, and I don't know how to feel because I wanted Joe Alt so bad. It's like I was kind of wanting Brock Bowers. I was wanting Roma Dunze. And then I just had that sneaky suspicion. I said it in the, like, leading into it. I just thought we were going to take JC Latham. And I kind of just – I'm like kind of – I was bummed right when I had that thought and right when we took him. But I just – it's one of those, like – I was already convincing myself it was Joe Alt. So in a way, I should have been ready for myself to convince myself that it'd be okay that we would take tackle. I think at the end of the day, we need a tackle so bad that you can definitely justify this pick. And yeah, I guess, I mean, Michael, so you think JC Latham, you think Bill Callahan, with how much he wants him, loved him, it could end up being like a smart pick? And is it more that, like, could Latham, like Latham at seven, you know, is Latham at seven better than a raw player like, I don't know, Fuaga at what, 14? Or I know you said you're out on Olub, or like a Marius Mims at 18. Like, could we have traded back and got someone else? Or are we, you know, ultimately, are we going to look back on this and you think we're going to like it?
I think the question, and I'm curious to hear y'all's gut reaction to this as well. I'm suspicious if Alt was on the board, I have a feeling they would have taken Latham over Alt.
And that would have made me mad. I actually, yeah. And strictly because of what everyone said about Alt and that he's already a left tackle. That would have made me upset.
It definitely would have brought back feelings of last year. And I would have been like, oh no, what would have been? So I'm a little bit glad that wasn't even an option, because my stomach would honestly be turning a little bit there. But looking at it, the signs were all there. This is exactly the kind of guy that they want. And at worst comes to worst, we got the best right tackle in the draft, right? So even if he doesn't pan out at left, we got. So that's one way to look at it.
But I will say this, Michael, and I think you'd agree. You can't draft two offensive linemen in the first round and back-to-back years in the lottery, quote-unquote, if we want to use an NBA term, like the top part of the first round, and not get a left tackle.
Yeah, it's really, really hampers your team building, because you have used premier draft capital to get positions you could have gotten later in the draft.
And that's part of, I think, my frustration, is because he is a right tackle. He has not played left tackle at all. And I understand Bill Callahan thinks he's got elite traits. He thinks with his teaching he can turn him into a left tackle, and he's done it before with Jedrick Wills. Although I'd argue if JC Latham is Jedrick Wills, I don't think we're very happy. I don't think Jedrick Wills is a top 10 NFL left tackle. But this is part of my larger point here, that we just went back-to-back. We just went back-to-back non-left tackles out of college. in the first round at pick 11 and pick 7.
Yeah.
That's not a formula for success. And maybe Bill Callahan bails us out here.
You know, the wild thing.
I don't love that at all. And you can do it once. You can do it 1 year. I'll give you 1 year. You're in love with Skronsky. Great. I'll do it 1 year. Back-to-back years. I mean, come on, guys.
I think the wild thing is the guy that was an All-American left tackle in college is the one not playing left tackle. And then the guy that's been an All-American right tackle is the one they're going to play right tackle. All right, yeah. Left tackle.
The other thing that's concerning to me is – what'd you say, JG?
I was just saying unless the Chargers move Rashawn Slater to the right and leave Joe Alt at the left, but I don't think they would do that.
I just meant that Skoronski was an All-American left tackle and he's playing guard. Right. it's kind of funny. And you know what? Who knows? Maybe we will have this dominant left side of the line that is the foundation, and you could argue that with Joe Alt gone, the only option to really go for is the elite athletic traits of, and I mean, you definitely saw it even with Skoronski in the rookie year. Like you need a guy that is just absolutely bull rushed in pass protection seems like this kind of, swallowing my own words here, but Latham being able to have the anchor that he has and having that elite traits, you know, provides him something that very few people are able to come in and especially in their rookie year and stand up against.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I wanted to ask you guys your opinion on this. So the best coach in college football history, Nick Saban, didn't put J.C. Latham at left tackle. When he had the opportunity to, after his freshman and sophomore year, he could have moved J.C. Latham to left tackle. But instead, he went out and he signed Caden Proctor, 5-star offensive lineman out of Iowa, went and plucked him out of Iowa, paid him a bunch of NIL money. And then after the first four games, it was very clear that Proctor was overweight and didn't know the offense. I mean, there were Alabama fans who were saying, this is guy's a bust, send him back to Iowa. But Latham never got that opportunity to play left tackle at Alabama. And so I guess I'm wondering, does Nick Saban's opinion not matter here? I mean, I think we've got to at least, you know, think about the fact that he could have just said, I've got a left tackle in J.C. Latham. I don't need to spend this NIL money on Caden Proctor and spend it elsewhere. Or he could have moved Latham over to the left side in the middle of the season when Caden Proctor was getting crushed by South Florida and Texas. So I just don't know, man. I just have some concerns about his ability to be what we need at left tackle.
I think almost the answer to that is like, say, even though Saban's one of the best college football coaches of all time, he's still not like he may realize that it's not worth using the resources of his O-line coach to try and convert J.C. Latham to left tackle when Bill Callahan will work a whole offseason to do that instead. And I mean, if you think about it, I don't know about previous years, but Jalen Milroe, like being a scrambling quarterback, was it more that he was better used at right tackle because he could scramble right more and follow J.C. Latham or something? I don't know. It could be just different with the offensive scheme for Alabama this past year. But I think that I think that's just like whatever the answer was there at this point, it doesn't matter. Or at least what everyone tells us. As fans, everyone tells us that it doesn't matter because we have Bill Callahan as the offensive line coach, and he loved J.C. Latham, supposedly. I think Diana Russini said that Bill Callahan loved J.C. Latham, and like at this point.
But let's also keep in mind this is spin season. The Titans have to sell their first-round pick every year, and so we're going to hear reports that Bill Callahan loves J.C. Latham, his favorite player in the draft. We're going to hear that Rand wanted Latham from the beginning, ever since they had the top 30 meeting at the combine or wherever. And like, that's the guy they wanted. But let's be honest here. If I had told you, any of you this morning when you woke up, any of you listening, any of you, Michael, John Garrett, I want you to answer this. If I told you we're getting J.C. Latham, that's all the context you have. You don't get to know Joe Alt's gone, but you just know that all I'm telling you is we're getting J.C. Latham. All of us are disappointed, right?
I mean, like I said, I would have to, if you told me that this morning, my answer to you right back would be Joe Alt better be gone. I would say that. And I just, I think that we're getting too far, like too down into it being the unsexy pick to where we're almost like going too far with that and taking away from the fact that J.C. Latham could be legit. But
I hear that. But this is the fifth year in a row we've had an unsexy pick, quote unsexy pick. I get that you have to have unsexy picks to build a good football team. But 5 years in a row in the first round?
Well, a majority of those years were the previous GM. We argued that at Corner Pub. I'm going to keep saying it right now.
That doesn't – okay, just because I don't care who the GMs are. It's not – the GMs don't matter to me. I'm not making a comment on Rand, whether he's a capable GM or not. I still believe in Rand, and I still believe in the direction of the team, and I think we're going to have a fun team to watch next year. I'm just saying, from a first-round pick perspective, you've got to go back to 2019 before you really get excited about a first-round pick the night of. Before that, you had Rashawn Evans in 2018. How many of us were elated about Rashawn Evans?
I, at the time, actually was pretty pumped about Rashawn Evans. But what I would say to that is I think – the reason I mentioned the previous GM is it was the previous GM's fault that we're in this position and we feel like we have to take a left tackle at pick 7. But you could also argue that it's also Rand Carthon's fault because last year we put our chips into the Andre Dillard basket and that's why we've got to go left tackle. But you go even further back and it's John Robinson's fault for thinking Isaiah Wilson was the answer there and then Dylan Radins was the answer there. And so there are just things that have happened within the Titans last few years, mainly because of John Robinson, that have put us in this position to where like we almost feel like we've had to put our resources towards receivers like DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley, because at 7 we can take a left tackle or at 11 we can take a left guard. So I just like,
you just made me think about this, John Garrett. Wasn't Isaiah Wilson a right tackle at Georgia?
I think he
because Andrew Thomas was their left tackle.
I think he was a right tackle, but he like John Robinson was like, this guy can be the answer. Well, also we still had LaJuan at that point, so it's not like we were.
So I know, but I'm just remembering now that Isaiah Thomas was a right tackle, or
Isaiah Wilson.
I'm pretty sure we drafted
Isaiah Wilson comparisons to J.C. Latham, please. Don't even start talking about that.
Big road grader.
Don't you dare.
Heavy hands. Not right tackle.
No.
SEC champion.
If J.C. Latham gets hammered and does some donuts on Charlotte Pike, then I will eat my words. But until he does that, I don't want to hear any Isaiah Wilson slander or J.C. Latham slander by bringing up Isaiah Wilson.
He's not going to be Isaiah Wilson. I'm just saying, regardless of who made the picks, the consistency of underwhelming picks is beginning to weigh on me as a Titans fan. It could have been a different GM every year for all I care. But I am beginning to get annoyed and frustrated at the consistent, underwhelming, less than exciting first rounds for the Titans.
Well, let's hope that J.C. Latham is a pancake machine to actually provide some like highlights there, as opposed to just like, oh yeah, he's solid. But quick side note, a guy that we had mentioned potentially in the second round, Ricky Pearsall at receiver, he just got taken by the 49ers at 31.
Well, yeah, see, the draft is still going on, y'all. I haven't actually been paying attention to what's going on.
So Xavier Worthy went to the Chiefs. The Panthers just traded into 32. Chiefs traded up to Buffalo's pick. They took Xavier Worthy. 29 was, I think, the Cowboys took Guyton, I think, after they traded back. And then 30 was the Ravens. They took the Ravens took Nate Wiggins, the corner from Clemson. 49ers just took Ricky Pearsall, and the Bills just traded back with the Panthers.
Wow. Here's a question for you, Michael. So we took Will Levis at 33 last year, correct? Would you rather have Will Levis at 33 or Bo Nix at 12
Bo
or
Nix at
JJ
eight.
at 10? No, Bo Nix was at 12.
Oh, so sorry. Penix. I'm thinking Penix.
Bo Nix at 12, JJ at 10, Penix at 8, Drake May at 3, Jaden Daniels at 2, Caleb Williams at 1. Where do you draw the line where you like, here's the line. I'd rather have Will Levis than these guys at those positions, but I'd rather have those guys at those positions versus Will Levis at 33. Does that make sense, what I'm asking?
See, my take on it, and yeah, it does make sense what you're asking. My take on it is I have seen Will Levis play NFL games now, and the bust rates for rookies and just first-round draft picks in general is so abysmal. I have seen Will Levis perform in an NFL game where some of these guys I haven't. So yeah, I take Will Levis over anyone, and where that my mind starts to change is when
Over
you
anyone? Oh, okay.
Sorry, I was going to say over anyone until you get to the Drake May line, because I would take Drake May. I'm not sure that I would take Jaden Daniels over Will Levis. It's really hard for me to tell, but most likely, probably think at this point he's got more upside than Will Levis does. But I got to say, the arm talent for Will Levis and the competitiveness, which I truly think is the underrated thing when everybody's ranking quarterbacks, like that is such a key component to excelling as a quarterback in this league. And Will Levis has that dog in him, and we saw him competing when he had no reason to want to compete last year. That to me tells me that he's willing to go through and do the things that's necessary. So I value that. And I don't know that you can. I can't accurately place, college potential versus actual NFL reps.
What
I
about
think
you,
I would,
JG?
yeah, I honestly like it obviously helped seeing a year of Will Levis in the NFL. But even as much as I hated Will Levis when we took him at 33 last year, I hate Bo Nix at 12 even more. I really dislike JJ McCarthy even more at 10. And Michael Penix at 8, like if you told me Michael Penix at 8 after the Texas game, I'd be like, that's a steal. If you told me Michael Penix then after the national championship game at 8, obviously I don't love that. So I agree with Michael that because we've seen a year of Will Levis, it's easier for me to answer that. And I would draw the line at Drake May at 3. I would love Drake May over Will Levis.
Here's another question for you. If Will Levis was in this draft class, where does he go after what we saw tonight?
He might go, I mean, he would maybe go 3. Or you would have,
Really?
I feel like people were like pretty high on Will Levis. I guess, well, I feel like people were so hit or miss on Drake May too, which I
Last
guess.
year, people didn't need as many quarterbacks.
Yeah. And I also think that you would have had a Vikings team or a Broncos team that would be more aggressive to trade up for Will Levis than they would for JJ McCarthy. I
Oh
feel
no,
like.
the Panthers got, sorry guys to interrupt, but Panthers got Xavier Leggett.
Oh, a
Interesting.
little Carolina connection there. Good for them. They had to do
That
something
was
to get the.
clearly the wide receiver we had met the most with that we were really targeting.
So would we obviously we didn't trade back into the first.
There was
Would
a
y'all
point there where I thought we might trade back into the first and get Brock Bowers.
Would y'all want to transition and try and wrap this up by talking about what we think we'll do at 38. We only have one pick for tomorrow night.
Real quick, I want to say I think if Will Levis was in this draft class, I think he goes 10. Assuming the same slots, you just figure out where, you know, same team, same slots, draft quarterbacks, you're just figuring out where the QBs line up. I think Will Levis goes 10 to the Vikings.
I don't over
JJ.
I think the perception of Will Levis coming out of his last year, because it was such a down year with a bad offensive line, I think the perception was that he was way undervalued, and we did get a steal at 33. But I think it was largely because of that last year. And I don't know, based off that last year and slotting in, I still think he would probably sadly be below Bo Nix.
Oh, wow.
Dang.
Okay.
I think the next quarterback up is Spencer Rattler. I definitely think he would be above Spencer Rattler.
Yeah.
Hard to say. It's really that last year, that last taste is, you know.
Well, it definitely made me hate him.
So. Let's touch on our division rivals real quick and then go to our pick at 38. So the Colts, thankfully, goodness gracious, Brock Bowers was not available. He didn't go to the Colts. The Raiders took him.
Yeah.
Two picks Raiders. Before. But the Colts, man, I would be a lot more upset if I was a Colts fan than I am tonight as a Titans fan. Drafting a defensive end who's got a freaking bionic neck. That scares the heck out of me.
Just look at Leighton Vander Esch. He's already retired from the NFL after 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. I got to say the Jags did well by getting Brian Thomas, though, where they did. Never would have thought he would have been there for him. So they were
placed. What'd they get for that trade?
I don't even know.
Do we know? Probably like a fourth rounder or something.
Yeah, looks like that because they've got 2 fourths and 2 fifths now.
Oh, wow.
And then the Texans didn't have a pick, so.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see. Brian Thomas can replace Calvin Ridley, but I'd still rather have Calvin Ridley.
Yeah. What's the biggest surprise? And when I say surprise that you're like now a little bit scared of them in terms of what team got what?
I need to kind of get back.
For me, the Chiefs getting Xavier Worthy could be a nightmare.
I think Bengals getting Amarius Mims to add to their already stacked tackle room is a not stacked, but just monstrous tackle room. I think that's something Amarius Mims. We were talking about it at Corner Pub, previous guests on the show, William Trapnell, and Robert and I were chatting about Amarius Mims at 18 compared to J.C. Latham at 7, just because of how big Amarius Mims is and like the raw talent there. But I don't know as far as like I don't know I kind of with the Titans right now, like I'm not as focused as much on the rest of the league because one, I just think Chiefs are just amazing because Patrick Mahomes, and then Texans have equipped big time, and then like we're not competing to where I'm not really concerned about the top dogs.
Yeah.
Because we're there.
Because we have a lot more work to do before we can worry about anybody else.
It would have been different if this were 2021, right after just losing the Bengals, and like still thinking we could figure things out for the next year. But
there were so many offensive linemen that went drafted in the first round. 1, 2, 3, 9 offensive linemen, which are did you just like 9 linemen and 6 quarterbacks. So obviously the 6 quarterback teams, you're going to be starting a rookie quarterback. You're not scared of them right now until you see what the quarterbacks are like. I think the Bears did they had a great offseason, right? Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, Keenan Allen. You got to be pumped if you're a Bears fan. Like finally there's some hope.
Oh yeah.
They're not scaring me, but you know, good job. Good draft for them.
Well, for us moving forward, so what position do you want next? Do you want a wide receiver? Here's who we got available. We got AD Mitchell from Texas, who a lot of people have said are off multiple teams' draft boards because of the diabetes issues that he has.
Wait, that was why? I thought it was his. I didn't even realize he had a diabetes issue.
I think that was it. He's like it translates into conditioning and longevity in terms of heat and something along those lines. But there's medical issues.
You can play in the NFL.
Medical issues that multiple teams have taken him off, apparently. Ladd McConkey, still there. Keon Coleman, still there. And the shocker for us is that, you know, Pearsall went. Leggett already went. So, you know, in terms of what the general consensus of most national, rankings, that's kind of the wide receiver list that's left there.
Michael, real quick with that point, I think because I want receiver, or like because receiver is definitely a good option, I almost want to trade back now and get a couple picks for tomorrow night, like a later second and then a third rounder, maybe someone with a compensatory pick in the third round or something that's later, so that we can have two picks tomorrow night. And then, you know, a guy like Pearsall would have been someone I would want at 38. I guess you could argue Ladd McConkey, but maybe like if we're looking for a slot receiver still, maybe Roman Wilson is there later on. So you can grab two picks and take a Roman Wilson who you feel like you could use in the slot a little more. What do you think about that?
You know, I'm going to say it's not going to be popular, but there's one player that's left into the second round, and you know he's going to be a hot commodity up top. Kool-Aid McKinstry is still available. Cornerback, Alabama. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And Cooper DeJean.
You're like,
I would love Cooper DeJean purely for the excitement to have a white corner. I mean, I'd go all over that. That'd be amazing.
He's a good punt returner.
I mean, we also have future starters at linebacker staring at us. Edrin Cooper.
Yeah, Edrin Cooper. That's who I was going to say. I could get behind Edrin Cooper.
What about Junior Colson?
Junior Colson also there. Yep. I mean, I don't know that – I would say Edrin Cooper over Junior Colson because of the speed element there. But, you know, looking at
it – We could also go D-tackle Jerzon Newton or Braden Fisk to team up with Jeffrey Simmons.
Jerzon Newton would be sick.
Yeah. Well, that's a real need. You know, we need a five-tech defensive end right now. There's a huge hole in that defensive line because of that. So
I'll tell you pretty much the only guys – I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I will be upset if we draft him. And I tell you guys before we make the pick, if we make this pick, I'm going to be upset and I stick to it. Okay. All right. That's what I do. I told you before we made the pick, JG, if we get JC Latham, I'll be devastated. That's what I said. Whoever the heck Marshawn Nealon is from Western Michigan sitting ninth, best available edge. We get that guy. I'm not going to be happy about it.
I don't know who that is.
I don't want that guy.
He doesn't know who he is.
And if we go running back Jonathan Brooks out of Texas, he's actually not a bad running back. I will not be happy. I'll tell you that right now.
No, I got to say it.
If we go Tyler Newbin, safety from Minnesota, 20th best available, I'll be pissed.
Well, I got to say this. If we go medical red flag, Mr. A.D. Mitchell himself, what would you say? Would you try to get on board? Or
I'll be honest, I did not know he had diabetes until you just told me that. And I played in college with a guy who got type 2 diabetes in college. Really healthy guy. And he managed it pretty well. You know, diabetes, it's not like a robotic neck or a broken back. You know, you can have a good career with diabetes.
Look at Trey Smith with the blood clots. That was a big concern and he went late and then boom.
True. I'm going to read what the report is in this call. This could be spin because people want the guy to drop. But they said that Mitchell is uncoachable and wildly pointed towards this diabetes diagnosis as a baseless cause for his abrasive and rude attitude.
Hmm. So, yeah, I thought it was.
You know what? I could use a diva back on the Titans.
I mean, the guy had the speed, you know.
The GMs won't draft any exciting players, so maybe we can get some drama queens in here. Ladd McConkey is the quintessential Patriots player. I don't know how he doesn't go to the Patriots.
Man, I don't know. Do we go Patrick Paul and just double up on tackle?
You know, I thought about that.
He's not even – when is he supposed to go next?
He is – it's a question. He's supposed to be like – Is he a guard? Second.
Nah, ESPN has him as the 10th best tackle available right now.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. They have him as the 18th best tackle in the draft.
What? Mel.
Mel does not like – Patrick Paul, we can get him in the fourth round.
They clearly know more than Mel Kiper. What are you doing?
I'm just looking at the guys that we've really scouted, and I think we really thought Leggett was going to be there for us, and Leggett going before some of these others. You know, we really haven't done too much meeting other than Devontae's Walker, wide receiver from North Carolina.
I think at this point, we probably wait on receiver. I mean, Tez Walker is really good. So is Malachi Corley.
Yeah, Mike.
Kentucky.
I mean, I'd sell it all for Luke McCaffrey, man. I don't care. Fourth round. Get the guy. Let genetics take its course.
I could see
CMC's brother.
I could see linebacker.
Yeah, I mean.
I really could see them if they're.
Because we missed out on Jerome Baker.
Yeah, I would say honestly, if Edgerrin's there, I could easily see that being, because you can just instantly pencil him as a starter as an upgrade at that point.
And I think Junior Colson's a name potentially.
We did. We met with Junior a good bit.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna give an answer. I'm team trade back. That's what I am. I'm team trade back to try and get a third. Where you have two tomorrow night.
I am team get all our underwhelming picks out of the way and go Jerzon Newton or Braden Fisk.
Newton would be sweet. Newton would be awesome. I would love that.
Fisk would be like the plug your nose. You've got to do it, but he's a kind of a beast.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, a run stuffer. Because we don't have anyone next to Jeffrey Simmons right now. Right?
Sebastian's going to stay.
Yeah, Sebastian, that's about it.
Yeah. So, I think I...
Those are two positions, linebacker and arguably, defensive end. I don't know if Jerzon, if they would view him as a defensive end or what you... I mean, you probably do still use him as a five tech, right? He's not a nose tackle.
I bet, though, really, at this point, if you want to win in the NFL, you go best available.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I don't we all agree you go best available, not necessarily need based at this point in time.
Ravens have done that for years and it's worked out for them. They just freaking crush best available and they end up with just studs.
Well, I got to think what that actually would translate to is, you know, wide receiver. I would be, even though we need speed, I'd be interested in Keon Coleman. Prior to the combine, if you would have told me Keon Coleman, you know, is going to be there at our pick in the second round, I'd be like, what?
Yeah.
But I could easily see, both lining up with need and best player available, you know, even though we really.
What did he do with the combine? He just ran a 4.6?
Yeah.
I don't think his three cone drill was fast.
But his 10-yard split was quicker than some of the receivers who ran in the mid fours. So.
Yeah. Well, I think at this point, we can kind of wrap it up. First round is over. We're going to bed overwhelmed again. And I think at the end of the day, JC Latham is Tennessee Titan. We took him number 7 overall and
grade the pick. Letter grade.
The Mauler.
Letter grade, JG.
Ah. B plus.
I'm going to go B plus mainly because no matter what, we got a good tackle. The question is where, which side does he actually play on?
I would have gone F an hour ago. You guys have talked me. You've talked me into a D plus. I see, you know, I'm starting to drink the Bill Callahan's favorite player in the draft, Kool-Aid. I'm starting to get caught up in the Titans spin. You guys know by the middle of June, I'll be about a B plus again. I'm going to watch a bunch of JC Latham highlights. Make sure I don't watch any of his negative plays.
What play is it that will completely flip the switch for you? What would it be? A Will Levis scramble that Latham just absolutely demolishes somebody in the second level? Would it be him stonewalling a star pass rusher while Levis just lets it rip for a long bomb down to Ridley or Hopkins? What play would it that would be completely flip your heart on JC Latham?
I don't know if a single play can do that. Like, I watched Dennis Daly beat Micah Parsons one-on-one a couple times, but I also knew that I hated Dennis Daly. So for me personally, I think I will change my tune on JC Latham. And look, JC Latham could be a great player. I'm just personally disappointed. And, but I think JC Latham, I will be bought in. Like I said, I'll be bought in by June. I know that already. Like, there's no question about it. But what I would like to see from him is when my quarterback drops back to pass, I don't start getting anxious before the defensive players have made contact with the offensive lineman. Because the last few years, the pocket seems to shrink like a balloon letting out air. And that left tackle spot has been the worst one. So I appreciate the question. I just – until I see left tackle consistently winning the majority of reps, I and feeling like Levis has time to process and make decisions and deliver the ball on time with accuracy, if he's capable of doing that, which I think he is, I don't know. We've had a great track record of drafting left tackles. We have a terrible track record of drafting interior O-linemen in the first round. I don't know why we're getting cute. Look, you're trying to wrap it up, JG, and I'm going off the rails again. But that's a great point. When we draft just left tackles, it works out really, really, really well. When we get cute and go interior linemen or right tackles from the SEC, you know, it doesn't work out.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do that. We're not doing that. We're not comparing JC Latham to some trash panda that was on our team for not even a ridiculous amount. We're not doing that. We're not going to do that. But Titans, JC Latham, he's ours. Bill Callahan loves him. So that means I love him. It's going to be hilarious. We could look back on this moment. We could hate it. We could love it. Doesn't matter. That's the NFL draft. That's why it's incredible. That's why it's fun. We can overreact. We can underreact. That's what we do as fans. That's what we're here for. Why do we live to be sports fans? We live to be sports fans and argue with our friends, argue with cousins, argue with family, argue with some random person who's a random Raiders fan or something like that. That's sports, baby. So the Titans pick JC Latham. And if someone wants to talk about it and argue about it, I'm free. So let's do it. Yeah, that's where we are. And Robert, we'll have a talk later for you comparing picking a right tackle to picking Isaiah Wilson. we'll have a discussion about that later. But yeah, so we'll see what the Titans do the rest of the weekend. Thank you all for joining us. I'm JG.
I'm Robert.
I'm MB.
And we thank y'all. Mama told me, son, always be a good boy. Don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing,
I hang my head and